Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5 talks about launching it out into the deep and letting down your nets. May I say this, that just as the Word of God is the seed that must be planted, the nets must be let down. We must be willing to go after those who are in need of the Lord. We also had the cleansing of the leper. The Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, which was totally against society's rules and regulations to touch a leper. And he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And in today's thought and lesson, we find that a man has been brought sick of the palsy, and he says unto him, take up thy couch and go into thine house. Let us stand, if you would please, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. May the power of the Lord be here today. May we see those who are in need of salvation coming to know the Lord even today. And verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. See, get the picture. Four men are carrying a bed on which lies a sick man, and they're trying to bring this man to Jesus. And verse 19 says, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, we find in one of the other scriptures referring to this incident, because of the press. Now, we're not talking about newspaper people. There just were so many people at this house that they could not get to Jesus. And it says there, because they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the roof or the housetop, and let him down through the tiling, which his couch, or with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. Again, get the picture. Here is this man, sick, being taken up to the roof, the tiles being pulled apart so they could lower the man into the house. They were so desirous of this man coming to Jesus. And verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come again thanking you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for the man who was healed because of the faith of the four that brought him. We pray, Lord, now that you would touch hearts today. And Lord, you know of the situation of each heart, where they are today, Lord. Are they prepared to meet thee? Or do they need to get things right even this day? We ask, Lord, for your blessings, for your encouragement to each and every one here. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, except for our fathers. If you are a father, if you are a father, would you stand at this time? If you are a father, fathers, yes. You know, the choir sang the song, Faithful Men. And the chorus went, Faithful men have gone before us. Faithful men who fight and stand. I want to follow in their footsteps, guided by those faithful men. Gentlemen, I would encourage you to be a faithful man of God. May I say this? There are those who are watching you. They're watching how you live your life. They're watching how you act and react. We want to say this, thank God for godly fathers. And what America needs are godly fathers, because we need godly homes. And if we can have godly fathers and godly homes, we'll have godly churches. And it will lead to a godly nation. And may I say this, we need to get back to the principles and the teachings of the Word of God. And it begins with faithful men. I want to wish all of you a happy Father's Day. And may I say this, have a desire to be a faithful man. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's give him a hand, okay?
Yes.
I have in my notes to you men, can you be counted as faithful? Faithful to your wife as a good husband, companion, and friend. Faithful to your children as a godly example. Faithful to your church as a righteous man. Faithful to your Savior as a humble servant. Men, you are a faithful guide to someone. Where are you guiding them today? You will direct them someplace. Ephesians 6:4 says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is not Pastor Paul talking to you. This is the Apostle Paul talking to you through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit directs the Apostle Paul to write, Provoke not your children to wrath, the wrath of God, upon those that do not accept him as Savior. You're to bring up your children in the nurture of the Lord. That means to train them, to educate them in the word of the Lord. You are to admonish them. You warn and counsel and caution and advise and exhort them in a right and proper way. I have 20 things my father taught me. You say, 20 things? Oh man, how long is this sermon going to be? Now you need to remember that last week we were in Pennsylvania and the pastor spoke for over 45 minutes. And he is my guide for today. But my dad taught me many things. He taught me the importance of the church. Should I put an amen up here? He taught me the importance of the church. He taught me the importance of the Word of God. He taught me the importance of being faithful with my money. He taught me the importance of knowing and needing a Savior. You know, a lot of people don't realize they need a Savior. They think they're good enough. I mean, after all, I'm better than this guy over here or this guy over here. But are you good enough for the Lord? I say this, one dad, three sons, five grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren. One thing in common, they're all in the house of God. Now you say, well, Bob, what about him? Well, he's in a better place than the rest of us. And I don't know where my brother Jim is today, but how many of you want to bet against me that he's in church today? Oh, you're going to vote that he's not in church today? No, you're going to vote that he is. Why? Because one man said, this is the way I want to live. He told me you don't work on Sundays. When I was a teenager, he said, you sign your application and you tell them you won't work Sundays and you won't work Wednesday nights. And so my early jobs, when I worked at Mr. Steak or other places, I didn't work Sundays and I didn't work Wednesday nights so I could be in the house of God. That's what he taught me. He taught me to be honest with money. So that if at McDonald's they give me back $5 too much in change, I don't say, all right, I've got Nick's lunch paid for. I give back the $5. He taught me to be on time, which has been the biggest... No, I'm not going to say that. He taught me you don't go barefoot. Now you say, what are you talking about? I think I was in my 30s before I ever saw my dad in bare feet. He was in the hospital. First thing he puts on in the morning, folks, is a socks and shoes. He doesn't go barefoot. He taught me that your pants should be baggy enough to pull your pants over your shoes. Now you can laugh about that, folks. Did you teach me that, Dad? Yeah. He taught me you don't date somebody that won't make a good mate. You don't date someone that won't be a good mate. He told me you don't go to movie theaters. I've never been in a movie theater. I remember telling that once to a bus driver. They were talking about movie theaters, and she says, you've never been to a movie theater? And I said, no. She goes, you're a liar. She goes, everybody goes to movie theaters. I said, ma'am, I've never been to a movie theater. I still haven't been to a movie theater. He said, you don't smoke. I don't smoke. I remember when Bob McDonald once offered me a cigarette, and I took it and broke it in half. He chased me all the way home. He missed his bus. I didn't ride a bus. He taught me you don't drink alcohol. He says, Paul, you've got alcoholics in every part of your family. I taught that to my sons. You don't drink alcohol. You've got alcohols on every side of your family. You don't do drugs. You don't go to dances. I didn't go to my school prom. You say, Pastor Paul, do you miss it? No, not one bit. I took a Christian girl out on a date that night. That's what he taught me. I can't imagine saying to Dad, I'm going to my prom. He says, where, who, and what? Where are you coming back? Yes. He taught me you save sex for marriage. That was for you adult parents to say amen to your... Yes. He taught me to love your mate. He said, open her car door. If I ever forget, Donna's sitting there in the car. You like that one, don't you? He taught me to love your children. He taught me to love your country. And that's just for starters. You know, dads, we teach our children an awful lot, don't we? Some things we teach them by accident that we don't even realize they're watching. But they're watching. Our children watch. We have four men here who are willing to do something for another. It was a certain day. We're not told what day it was. We're not told if it was the Sabbath. We're not told what was going on. It was a certain day, and he was teaching. May I say this? We need to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. One of the problems our country has today, and maybe it is the problem, is that we have forgotten the Word of God. Our problem in the United States of America is not the economy. It's moral. We have a moral problem in our country today. We think that every TV program ought to have two people sometime getting into bed. It used to be a man and a woman. Today it can be two women or two men. But boy, this has got to be part of the program. We have a moral issue. Oh, and may I say this about the economy. When we were in Pennsylvania, we paid $3.36 for gas per gallon, $3.36. Yes, I just thought I'd throw that out to you just to help your day along. He was teaching, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law were there, and the power of the Lord was present. May I say this, the government, the politicians may try to stop the church, And they may try to stop the teaching of the Word of God, but it will continue. Communist Russia and China tried to stop the spreading of the Word of God, making it illegal. And yet today, those churches still prosper. They still go on because you can't stop the Word of God. And behold, the Bible tells us, something unusual was about to happen. Something unusual was going to occur. Men brought in a bed with a man on it, and they didn't bring it in through the door. This man was in need of healing. May we take note, verse 18, men brought. The subject being men, the verb, the action, brought. They brought a man. May I say this? Listen to the missionary reports. Read the missionary letters. And you will find that every one of them says, we need godly men. Every one of them. Every one of them will say, we need in our church, in our ministry, in our project, godly men. Listen to preachers at fellowship meetings, and they'll all tell you, we have the women, but we need the men. We need men who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. They were not distracted. You know, they brought the man. They wanted to come to Jesus, and they found the house, but they couldn't get in. Now, folks, I must admit, I would love it if on a Sunday morning at 9:55, this auditorium was full. So that anybody that came in after 9:55 would have to say, where am I going to sit? Oh, you might have to sit on the front row. But I guarantee you, we'll have stadiums full today. And the restaurants will be full today. And the malls will be full today. But why aren't our churches full today? Because we've taken our eyes off the Lord. We've taken them off the Lord. See, they saw a need, and they went into action. Was this man a friend, a relative, a fellow worker? We're not told. But the four of them brought him to the Lord. We are not told in any of the three recordings of the event that happened here that it was the idea of the man in the bed. We are not told that the man in the bed said, take me to Christ. What we find is that four of them brought this man to Jesus. I don't know if it was the idea of one of them and the other three agreed to help, or if all four of them were talking and they all agreed, let's take him to Jesus. Do you know someone that needs to come to Jesus? Do you have a family member that needs to come to the Lord? Have you told them of their need? May I say this, all young boys need godly influences. I'll say that a second time. Some of you are still thinking about it. All young boys need godly influences. They need male influences. They need positive male influences. We have vacation Bible school every year, and ours will be here before we know it. T-shirts have been ordered for our workers, and you see that we're having it come up in the month of July, and we would encourage you to bring your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, that little snot-nosed boy next door, bring him to vacation Bible school. And one of the things that I have found during the year when we have vacation Bible school is that when I'm singing, some of the boys and girls will look at me. I hope I'm not singing off key. But I think sometimes it's because I've never seen a man sing. Now you see, well, they sing them on some TV program. That's different. They haven't witnessed a man singing, and we need to let them know they need to sing for the honor of the Lord. I think of godly men in my life. I think of men like Don Cochran, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon here at this church. I think of him as an example in my life. I think of some men in our lives, Neil Jackson and Jim Foster and Bob Plenis, men that were positive men that were true to the Word of God. I think of my dad, been pastor here for so many years, and we appreciate him. We think of godly men. First graders were asked to draw a picture of God in their Sunday school. One drew an old man in the clouds. Another drew a superhero. One little girl said of her picture, "I don't know what God looks like, so I drew a picture of my dad." May I say this? Children usually think of God as they see their dad. Is their dad caring? Does he have time for them? Is he willing to listen to them? How do your children see you? How do your grandchildren see you? Verse 20 says, "And when he saw their faith." When he saw their faith, I've never had to question my dad's faith. It's always been right there in front of me. I would hope that my sons, Brian and Matthew, both would say the same thing, that they've seen my faith. I hope that you dads and you mothers and you granddads and you grandmothers, you aunts and your uncles, that they've seen your faith, that they know of your love of Jesus Christ, that you want to nurture your children in the Lord, that you want to admonish them to follow after the Lord so they are not provoked to wrath. For the Bible tells us those that do not believe in the Lord as their Savior will suffer the wrath of God upon them. Thank God for godly fathers, godly mothers. Shall we stand together? I don't believe it was by accident that those four men came on that certain day bringing that certain man to Jesus. I think once again the Lord wanted to show the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law who he was. I don't believe it's by accident that you're here today. I believe it's important that we show those who are coming behind us who Jesus is, our need to be testimonies to our children, to our mates, to those we work with. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, "Jesus is Calling." He's calling for you today. He wants you to follow after him. He wants you to know him as Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we sing this song that you would touch hearts, that the Spirit would move and convict. And Lord, may we leave saying that the Lord was honored and praised in what was done here today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen.